Today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, and then we've been discussing signatures of witnesses in terms of the laws of get. So get it doesn't have to be a divorce document. A get generally means like a shtar. Okay, that's more broadly. So kama yu edim rachukim menaktav. So what's the gap that you can leave at the bottom, such that, or the maximum gap, I should say, between the edim and the ktav, the witnesses and the signatures itself. And we discussed this as well in the past when we learned in the Gittin. And here we see a different opinion. Kadeshu Makrini more that if a Rebbe says that it's got to be that it can like, literally has to be on the next line. It can be read along with it. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says Moloshita, a one-line gap. Rebbe Dustai ben Yehuda Omer Male Chatimat Shtei Eidim. You got your day Eidim. You need enough, sounds like two lines. And Rebbe Yirmiyah says B'Shem Rav, Ama Mishar Noto Ad Kedei Lech, Lech, Lecha Levelecha. So Lecha Velecha is all the lamed and chaf, sofit, letters extend high and extend low. So if you're having two lines with lecha locha, the top line, the chaf, will drop down. And if you don't want to hit the lamed of the line below it, you're going to have to leave pretty much a big enough space. So I think if you look at the drops as being like a half a line, it's about, if you include all the half lines together, that's probably about four lines width, if I'm not mistaken. Now, what's interesting here is we've seen in the past that you can't have such a, you can't have more than two line gaps. So how does this even work? So that's why the Marafulda explains here, according to the Tosfot, that we're talking about the, it says, Pirush dahai breitza mayr min atzad. In other words, it sounds a de'im tachtav, because you know it has to be talking about the gap to the side, not the gap below. Because im tachtav, hayach matir b'shnei shittim chalak. We've said if there's a problem of two shittim, two shurot. Simple understanding, it's a two-line gap. Why? Because a person can cut the shtar at the top, and he's got a beautifully signed document for whatever he wants to fill inside it. So that's why, at least the Marafulda explains, exciting the Tosfot, this, the gaps we're talking about here is not the standard gap as where I started explaining of like document text followed by idiom, the gap between, but rather somewhat offset like this, right? To the side. Now, Be'ezik Tav Misharinato, what type of writing do you estimate it with? Because everyone writes different sizes. So Rav Yossi B'Shem Rav Shoftai says, Malacha Mata Yedei Eidim. We go by the size of the writing of the Eidim. So Chizkiah says, one second, Amar Bilvad Lekula, that's only for results in leniency, meaning, Shimachol Tem Yad Eidim Dak, if the writing of the Eidim is small, V'haktav, and the writing of the document is larger, Gas, Hochim Achar Agas, you go by the larger writing, meaning two lines would be the problem, it says, for larger lines. However, Yedei Eidim Gas, V'haktav Dak, if the Eidim signature is bigger than the writing of the document, then you look at the gaps of the lines, the maximum gaps, and what's the size of a line. That's you go achar. Says ochim achar agas chot chadim Eidim gas v'ktav adach ochim achar ha dak. He says dak, but I thought it should be hagas, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, hachinami ochim achar hagas. That's I think the Marafulda have it. He says nira leid gersinan. Exactly, that's the gersin of the Marafulda. So therefore, it's always lakula. So Amar Rav Yitzhak, in have kagon Yossi ben Yanai, if the witness's name was Yossi ben Yanai, then Masharin kedei melech ben melech. And as I explained, that lech and lecha lecha, those letters stretch out. So the two lines, we look at it as if they had chafsofits and labids to discern what the two lines are once back then, even if the Eidim signatures themselves don't have that. Now it's really cool actually, because the Marafulda says, why do they use example of Yossi ben Yanai? Because it says, Ve'efshar she'ali Yanai Malka ben Melech, acharav u'shmo Yossi. That we use Yossi ben Yanai because there was a Yossi who was a Melech, who was a son of Yanai Malka, or is it Yanai Melech, right? So maybe that's why they use that example. That's why if it was Yossi ben Yanai, then a Melech Malka, that's probably a very good way then of remembering the halacha, right? Because it was a Melech ben Melech. So even if it's Yossi ben Yanai, no letters that shoot up and down, you treat it as if it is. Okay. Rav Yiri says b'shem Rav Yirmiyah, tzirich lachik min ha-machak, makom shtei shittim. That if there's a wiped out part of a document, the witnesses have to be, now this requires a little bit of thought, there's a gap of two lines. Am Rav Yitzhak afilu pashut, even if it's a get pashut. So I'll just read the Marafulda here, but we're gonna question that in a minute. What it means is that if the last part of the document is wiped out, you need to have a gap now of two lines before the signatures. That's Kadesh Lo Yizalef al Makom Machak, that no one would say write on the Makom Machak. Kushimachakim, if the shtar is ever offered, and they will see an error that's wiped out, with writing on it And there is a gap of two. And if there's a line of a gap of two lines, that's an indicator that if you like that machak was, if you like genuine or not. Okay? So I just explained. What about the fact that you kind of have a gap of three lines? That's different because that's what the Chachamim attacking. Because then you've got this wiped out area. And you need a gap. Because if someone tried to write something on the machak area, we'd say it's pasul. Because the ketav was distant. So I'll just explain again. What it sounds like, according to the Mara pulled up, is if you need to wipe out the end of the document, meaning they change their mind, whatever the last few lines, then you would need to leave a gap of two lines. And that would be clear, because I've got this gap of two lines, that there's nothing on the machak is valid. Okay, that's like the siman. That's what it sounds like, according to it. We'll correct this in a minute. Because in that way, if a kashdar comes in front of Beit Din and there's writing on the machak, and there's a gap of two lines, Beit Din will say, oh, well, this error was mochek from the shtar, there's writing on it, we have to disregard it. Okay? That's what it sounds like. Machak is everything wiped out. However, the Shayere Korban back in Masechta Gittin, he finds this very difficult to explain. That's exactly what the Gemara means. Because if you've got a gap of two lines, then again, you fall back to the original problem that someone could just cut the top of the document off and you've got a signed parchment that someone could write whatever they want. So what it means, why would they attack and they should, yes, in this situation, it's absurd, they should have a gap of two lines. That doesn't make sense. So he explains as follows. He says that when is there a problem of, if you like, having a machak being wiped out the region? That's when, if you like, it's within two lines from the signatures or close to the end. Meaning there has to be a gap, meaning of, in other words, the machak, the section of this contract that is wiped out, has to be above the signatures or higher up. Why? Because if the section that is wiped out is close to the end, we're concerned that that region that was wiped out, it was a good document, had Sharir Vakayam. The person wiped it out, wrote what they wanted, and added the Kiyum after it, saying that, oh, that which was above we wiped out and did it. And then they slipped that all the way in to where the before the signatures. So, in other words, there's always a gap, if you like, between the signatures and the witnesses. And we're concerned that what might happen is that they might wipe some area out that says Shera Kayam, insert extra bits of the agreement that weren't really agreed to at the time of the signing of the document, and then write Shera Kayam and after it in the between, and that's how they're forging the document. So I think what the Marafold is saying is that's the concern of the Machak being close to the witnesses, sorry, Machak being a problem, is if it's too close to the witnesses. But if it's further up, then it wouldn't seem to be. If there's a bigger gap, then there's no concern that the error that's wiped out is Visharir Vakayam. Everything it is certified, right? That's what it sounds like. If I understood the Shaira Korban properly. Because again, if errors that were mochek, we'll see as the Gemara continues, they would certify that yes, we wiped this out. And like it's almost like, you know, when you change a it sounds like when, you know, when you ch change a check, you have to initial it here when you make little changes. That's what it sounds like they would have to do. But it's more than that, because if you have a look at the continuation of the Gemara now, it says, Rav Amar, machak, you have to write, machak atlut shebektav hazeh. That if things were wiped out or inserted in funny ways, they would certify that we made changes to this document before the signature. Right? That's how it would be. And that's the kiyumo. Rav Amar, zeh kiyumo. That's the kiyum. So we're repeating ourselves again, but that's because it seems to be that this point is ho'il. It says Vara Plukta Hadar Milta the Rav Od Pam, because it seems to be that this seems to be a machloket about this. It's mentioned once again. So let's see as follows. Rav says b'shem Rav Yitzchak ben Chakula kol machat yachol litlot b'machak tala. Anytime you've got a region that's wiped out, you can make assumptions about that lekos l'chumra. Okay. Fine. So I'll read them out full day. It says, "Kol mashal yachol lomar litlop a machak v'yifsol l'shtar aydei machak t'pasol l'shtar yishut toleh." V'chen katav v'nimuk Yosef. Here's the term that was. V'il v'shtar nifsal yin a machak lefi, because we're basically puzzling the shtar by the way of the machak, by the fact that the bridge has been wiped out. So therefore, you can toleh anything you like in the machak in order to puzzle the shtar or create a suffix. We'll see in a moment. Lefichach kol mat she'elechot bo tala shifsol atzar. If air has been rubbed out or wiped out, sounds like hasn't been certified, or explain why it's been wiped out, you can tola on it. Masha enkin tola beneshitei in ashtan of sabakach. However, if you start inserting things between lines, then it's not in the sabakach. Okay. That's why lekach mehadar Reb Yitzchak ala machak v'lo ala tole. That's why you see in a second Reb Yitzchak is referring to the machak and not the lines that are the extra bits you sort of tole between shirot. So let's have a look. So ma'o kol mash tayachol liplot v'machak tala. So Rav Yotz yasa kotsira chat nayad Rav Yossi b'shem Rav Yossi. Simfon, if you remember, is a tnai. That's terminology of some sort of condition. Katuv mela'el. That was written at the top of the document. The simchon, but the tnai seems to be all wiped out towards the end of the document. And niomer, the assumption is here we're talking about like a shtar kiddushin. Let's say there was a kiddushin that was an al tnai, and the tnai is written in the beginning, but at the end there will seem to be a tnai that was wiped out. And niomer, I can act lechumer. Niomer, gamru lasotum kiddushin gemurim. The fact that they wiped it out at the bottom means that they wanted to do a full kiddushin. Begin to lo meitzar bene get, or begin to lo meitzar get machke. And I'm explaining first on Maraful, then I'll go back to Sharei Korban as in Korbanator in a moment. So he says, but in other words, why did they, I'll explain it outside rather than reading the whole the Maraful inside, but he says, why did they wipe out the bottom? It must be that they decided, oh, we'll do Kiddushin and therefore it's a good Kiddushin. Right? We don't need a Tanai. Ah, why didn't they wipe out the Tanai in both locations of the Shtar? Because towards the end, it's a clean smear, like it's a clean wipeout. However, higher up, it's bene, if you like. It's meitze bene again. It's like a, it's a bit tight in that region. It's not so simple to wipe it out. Okay, I'll just show you because this is some of the word my folder says. Hainu taimership is sinful. Me'olam katab bein gufa shtar akidushin sham umafzik usham. And since it's in the middle, it would be too hard to wipe out. So it was a nut. In other words, the chashash now of wiping out the bottom, I machmir to assume that they decided not to have the tnai. In other words, let's just get married. Let's do kiddushin without a tnai. Why didn't they wipe out the top? Because it was inconvenient to do so. That's the chumra, despite the fact that tnai is still there. And then he says, "V'rabanan chashish nelo meitzah bein eget." So here, the way the Rafulda explains it, it says even if they'll mochek the top part, where choshek the tnai was still in place, despite the fact that they'll mochek the top part. Now it says, I'll just read inside. He says, the ofki I gavna amrina, you know, b'masha atay yachol liplotala, haynu taimit chushin shema lo meitzer. Right? Afilu machako ato lamala, even if you wiped out the top part, that's night, the next night. V'chilon, if they're in full of the tonight, then inkiruchem kiddushin. So in other words, you have to be, in other words, let's say the tonight wasn't fulfilled, you have to be machmir both ways. Safik mekudeshet, basically. And that way, if she received kiddushin from somebody else, you have to be like choshin the kiddushin sheni. You're not sure if she's married to the first person or the second person. That's kind of the way he explains it. And I'll show you, actually, Sharei Korban explains it slightly differently. He says, I think he reads it all as one in one go, which is a bit like the Pnimosh, I think. He says that, the gist is really the same. But he says, the fact that we're mochek the bottom, there are two ways to understand that we were mochek the bottom. Either because they wanted to go and do the Tanai, like we said, so therefore there's no Tanai, or Meitzah, de lo Meitzah bene gita, the way I think he explains it is that there wasn't enough room to write out the Shtar, so they started writing it and just wiped it out. But it's not that they were going, like, retracting from the Tanai. It's just we wrote at the top, there wasn't enough room at the bottom, so they just scribbled out the bit that there's never enough room to fit it all in. So that's why you're machmir lekan or lekan. I mean, we don't know if it was going back on the Tanai, or really the Tanai was meant to go through, but there was another reason why it was mochek. And that's why it's safek mekudeshet, if the Tanai wasn't fulfilled. Okay? But by the way, he also adds to Sharei Korban that is provided that it's nikar that there was a Tanai underneath that writing. Because if it's not nikar, then, you know, it sounds like according to him, you don't invent things. Advent assumptions that maybe there was a time, maybe there wasn't, things like that. Okay, let's continue. Shtar nafak Rav Chuna Rav Shimi. I speak that Shtar Yatsa came before Rav Chuna and Rav Shimi. It says, Lifnei Rav Chuna Rav Shimi. Ogre machik kunta lo machik. So what's a ogre machik and what's kunta lo machik? The way the Maharful explains it is, the person buying holodeck are pardes, like configurations of trees of people. There was a region that was 5 by 5. There were so rows of five, okay? And he bought, say, and there were also rows of 10, okay? Now, the rows of five, there were many, and he bought five of those five, even though the Gemara doesn't make reference to this here. However, there were three rows of 10. And in the shtar, he wrote, Tlata de'asriyot, meaning I want to buy three rows of the tens. That's what was written. The individual came along and it was mochek, the top of that dalet, to turn the dalet into a vav. So that sounded like I want to buy three trees and the rows of 10. So he tried to profit by chapping in, by modifying the document somewhat, an extra three trees. Okay? So Amar Rav Chunah Rav Shimi, Pokhami ad hahen. Kunta Meshamesh. And he says, let's go and nafik vidak and find out what this the tens were referring to. Nafak Umar in Traya Kunta, that there were three rows of 10, if you like. Min nafik Amar hadami baye mitgaret lati ifsadi de asara. So the problem is, he says, this guy thought he could try and profit by manipulating the document to get an extra three trees. But he ends up effectively losing a row of 10, so ultimately losing 7. Why? Because when he said tlata de'asriyot, he was meant to get 30. When he says tlata ve'asriyot, well, how many rows of 10s is that? It doesn't say kol asriyot, it says asriyot, so rows of 10. And the minimum, in a case of suffix, you go to the minimum. So the minimum of asriyot are 2. So instead of getting 3 times 10, 30, that individual ends up only getting 2 times 10 plus 3 by multiple. He thought he could manipulate the system and profit as a result. He ends up losing. He ends up losing 7 effectively because Asariot will only give him 2 rows of 10. Okay, fine. Okay, good. Let's get to you. This is now Lamed Alphabet. Heshiv Rebbe, Lekem Divrei Rebbe Chananya ben Gamliel. So it was a Machlokes Rebbe Chananya ben Gamliel in the Chachamim. That was if a get Mukushar has the signatures inside. Rav Chananya ben Gamliel says, just simply, why would it be pasul document? Just open up the document, you can turn it to get pashut with the signatures inside. However, Rebbe now comes to argue with Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. He says, Gufa should get mochiach alav. You can't just open up a get mukushar and turn it into a get pashut. It's the document itself, again, it's a document that starts as a get mukushar, it's mochiach b'alav, it's a get mukushar. Who imenu pashut? So mal gufa shall get. How do you mean the substance of the document proves whether it's a get pashut or not? So Amar Rabba midamar Rav Yehuda lo ram edim chotmi melamala ad shikru bo lamata ani ploni ben ploni mukubal ani alai kol ma shakduv lamala. If you remember the way to ensure that a get mukushar whose signature on the back, you don't run into problems of people injecting extra details on the inside of the document, is to make sure that there was a line at the bottom that says, I accept everything that's above. But basically like a signing off and concluding line. So he says, if you see that in concluding line in the document, you know this document is a get mukushar. So how can you just open it up and turn a get mukushar into a get pashut? It's not. It's clearly a get mukushar. The signature's inside, therefore it's pasul. That's the argument Rebbe makes to Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. However, tiny one thing a tofsef shtarot ken. But one second, we said that when it comes to all forms of shtar, even get pashut has that line at the bottom. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mani, no, we can still defend Rebbe's argument. Tofes shtar mekusharot ken. Maybe it means tofes shtar mekusharot, and that doesn't mean all forms, but only mekusharot have this extra signing off line. Let's call it that, or concluding line. So Amar Rav Avin, vafilu tema hu pashut mekushar. Even if you want to say that concluding line applies to both, change the gears here. Bekashur me'akev, bepashut enu me'akev. That really only it's only a critical bit in a mekushar and not in a pashut. So therefore, if it's there, it seems to suggest this is once again it's a get mekushar. This is an argument like to respond Rebbe's argument. However, Rebbe Yehuda over there says no. V'mosif halacha pashut shnayim mekushar shot v'hein osim ator shalosh pashut mitoro mekushar makra v'hein osim ator me'achorav. In other words, just because it might be that it's only necessary for a get mukushar to have that signing off line, a get pashu could have it. Similarly, a get pashu could have three signatures, it's not pasul. And similarly, a get pashu could have signatures on the back and the front. So, in other words, There's nothing there. This is just defense. This is a countering Rebbe's argument against Rabbi Hanan ben Gamliel that a get mekushar who has a signature inside, you could easily open up and turn it into a what looks like a get pashut, an open document, a normal document, and there's nothing there that screams this is a get mekushar that was pasul. Okay, because everything that's there might resemble a fully fledged, if like get pashut l'chumra. And someone decided to put an extra signature in it, or someone decided to have this extra signing off line, or also put signatures on the back, things like that. Okay, let's continue. This is now halacha bet. Get pashut edav shnayim u'mekushar edav shloshot. As we explained, the get pashut has two signatures, and the get mekushar has three. If you have less than that, pashut ketabo ed echad. If you have one witness for get pashut. Or a mekushar, you have two witnesses, then they're both considered pasul. Ketav bo zuzim. Now, here we're talking about ambiguities in documents as a result of something going wrong with the document, or just ambiguities in conflicting statements. So let's have a look. The first one is conflicting statements. Ketav bo zuzim mea. If the just that was a loan or some sort of financial document that says it was zuzim mea, which is 25 sleim, but it says dehi amenu sleim esrim, but it says that, and it is 20, which is 20 sleim. So the contradiction. The first breath or half of the sentence it's suggesting it's 25, and the second half is saying 20. Then ain't lo el esrim, because we said he only gets 20 because, as we explained, that the yad hashtar bal hashtar tachtona, whoever has a shtar in his hands, he is in the more disadvantageous position. Similarly, zuzim mea, if it says 100, which is again 25 sleim, but it says followed, which is 30 sleim, ain't lo el maneh, he only has 25 sleim again because yad bal hashtar tachtona. Kesef zuzim dinu, and it says if it's this star, if you like, this loan is for 20 zuzim, which are, doesn't say the sum, the nimchaku, then you have to look them in amount of what kesef zuzim means. You've got no less than two. Kesef slayim dinu nimchak also in mishnayim. Darkanot, so these are all different sums of money or denominations, as I say, dinun, and it doesn't say the sum. It got wiped out. Again, we've got to look them in amount mishnayim. Well, the Gemara says, "Get pashut edav shnayim." Tani zuzim dinun v'nimchaku. What if it says there were again a certain amount of sum of money which are, and it was wiped out? One person says it was five. Balashtar, right? Bahalomer, no, it was only. Now the gerus we have in front of us is shnayim. We'll continue with that, and I'll go back to Marfold in a moment. But he says it was only two. So does he have to make a shvuah? So Taman Amri ben Azai v'Rebbe Kiva Chadama noten shnayim v'nishpa l'shar. That's a classic case of modem b'miktza. He says you owe me five, not only you two. Modem b'miktza makes a shvuah. He partially admitted. However, v'chadamar no kevan she'ilu lo hada lo kol ikar, had he not admitted anything. Lo haya lo ela shnayim, he would only have to pay two anyway, because as we said, if it says a plural sum without the actual quantity, it's got to be two. Enishpa, therefore, al-mashoda. Because therefore, it sounds like the simple flow of the sugya, that this is like the fact that he said it's two is not even more of a mikta. Because the shtar itself, at a minimum, implied two, so therefore he wouldn't have to pay anything. Again, the Balchov says it was if five you owe me, but the number five was wiped out, we don't know what the sum was, and he says, well, it's two. That's not a partial omission, because that's effectively what the document says anyway, without its stump status. However, I mean, what's really interesting, the Mara Fula says, he changes based on the Gemara. And he says that one individual said five, the Baal Chov, if you like, said five, and the individual said it was three. Okay, then it says, shlosha. So again, the first opinion, again, Ben Azai, Rebbe Kiva says, what's Kaset Mordechai Mikzat? However, the other Shita says, no, had he not said anything, it would have been two. The fact that he said three is not a modem b'miktzah, it's what's called meshiv avida. If you remember in a situation where someone's like if someone finds a wallet on the street, the guy wouldn't have, he didn't have any, and it had $100 in. The person says, what are you talking about? It wasn't 100 in there, it was 500 in there. Well, it's meshiv avida. You don't make him make a shvuah that there was 500 in there. He's a meshiv, you would have got nothing. So it sounds like here as well, he says, since the base stump document that's been nimchak, you would have only got two. When the individual says actually it was three, he's like considered like a meshiv avida, not like a modem b'miktzah, according to the other opinion, and therefore he wouldn't have to pay. So he wouldn't have to make a shvuah. So let's continue. Says katul bo milamala maneh umilamata matayim. What if the start of the document says it was 100 and the bottom says 200? Milamalan 200 lamatamane. And the starts in the beginning say it was 200, and the bottom is a bo and the bottom says 100. We get hakol holech achar hatachton. You always go by what it says at the bottom, meaning that is the determiner, right? Vim ken lama kotvim al elyon. Why do you even write at the top of at all? Shim timchak ot echad min hatachton yulban elyon. If there's some sort of discrepancy, like a letter's wiped out, you can learn one from the other. Yim hatachton min elyon. Okay, fine. Okay, let's continue. Nagmar says, "Katubo Tani yilman, which is b'mekushar. It's interesting here where you have the word mekushar, but there's a bit of debate here. But anyway, ba'ot echad v'lo. In other words, you can only learn one letter, not two. Now, even though it sounds to me, yilman elyon, the bottom can learn. It sounds like the bottom learns from the top. The way the Marafuda explains it, or the flow of the Sugya, seems the top can learn from the bottom, okay, to metaken it. That's what it sounds like. I'll show you this parish in a moment that shows that that way. But anyway, it can only be ot echad, for example, but not two letters, because the assumption is a sofer might make one letter mistake, but not two. Bein chanan lechanani, bein anan leanani. Ot echad mekayimim otot b'shtei otot en mekayimim otot. Okay, with one letter, not two. In other words, it's one extra letter, we can metaken it. Rabbi Yitzchak sha'al. Sha'al mima'al, mima'al, meaning above, it says milamala, that is, katuv chanan, v'ulamilamata, at the bottom it says nani. So it's interesting, it's chanan, and the bottom it says nani. So it's one letter difference, but it's not a deletion of a letter, it's replacement of a letter and also moving its location. Is that considered also still yilman mina, you can mana tachton mila elyon? Meaning la'mera tachton mila elyon, chanan ve'elyon mitachton nani? Does that work in that situation? That's sort of left as a question. So I'll read the Marful inside just to clarify this one point that I wasn't so clear about. It says as follows. He says, can you ilmod tachton me'elyon? Meaning, so what happens? The mala was chanan and the mata was nani. Can you learn tachton ki ilu k'tiv chanan? Can you learn? Sorry, I was right. Sorry, it is right. Fine. You can learn as if it's written chanan. Gam ken also milamata. V'chen elyon mitachton. Can you learn the other way around? Kilu nani k'tiv milamala. So elyon mina tachton elyon seems to be the way that's what confused me a bit. Is that even though we're saying that you need tachton me'elyon in nimchak ot echad, the reason why you're into the top, if there's a discrepancy like nimcha something in the tachton, you can learn from the elyon. Here we seem to be saying that it can kind of, in his parish, kind of can go two ways. If it's not nimcha, if there's one letter difference, that the tachton can learn from the elyon, and it says also maybe the elyon can learn from the tachton. So the question is, in this situation, in any event, if there's one letter wrong, but it's not an insertion deletion, it's a replacement. Is that still okay? Or name or ilvelok kol shem bimkomachar, or since the whole name is there, and then ein lemedim, and that's kind of left as a question, as well as my own question with the sugya, what elyon and tachton really at the end of the day means. Okay, mitzvah shem, we'll continue tomorrow for the next mishnah. All right, kol tov.